Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Oh, man. Second and goal. Penix, end zone, touchdown! Drake London! And Penix with a bullet!
Ian Eagle on the call of the Falcons beating the Commanders yesterday. Washington falls to 2-2. They're 2-0 at home at Northwest Stadium, where they won 9 of 11, but on the road at Lambeau Field and in Mercedes-Benz yesterday in Atlanta. It's been ugly, and they have fallen to 0-2 to even their record. Welcome back to G&D. The show is brought to you exclusively by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So, Danny, it sounded to me in our opening salvo in hour one like you are really upset and angry. Week four at 2-2, having played half of these games without your MVP and your starting quarterback, they split these two games 1-1. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll just ask the question. We're going to talk, are you worried or are you waiting a week? Like, are you starting to feel like, uh-oh, this team's not as good as maybe I had anticipated? Or are you kind of going to wait and see in a week-to-week league what it looks like against the Chargers? Maybe you get to 3-2 and you're in a good spot to go on a little run. But, like, your animus or venom toward the performance, was that just based on how ugly it was yesterday, how bad these few weeks have been defensively? Because it feels to me like you are, like, more at Salty Danny than I would have thought by the end of September this year for a 500 team.
Yeah, it's not the offense. Even though the offense hasn't been what we are used to, they're still eighth in the league in points. You know what I mean? Even without Jaden Daniels playing great, even with Marcus Mariota in the lineup for a couple of games, we're not going to be as good. They're not 2-2 because of their offense. So I've been screaming for a year and four games now. This is the issue. They don't defend the pass very well. And everybody wanted to focus on the run defense. What happened last year to me was they realized they were a disaster trying to cover people with Forbes and St. Juice and everybody else, so they backed off as much as they could. They were willing to give up 7-8 yards a carry at times because they knew the alternative was way worse. A.J. Brown could torch them whenever they felt like it. Zay Flowers in the first half against Baltimore torched them. They can't cover, and they knew it last year. And for whatever reason, they decided the best, cheapest way for us to go do this, to fix it, is to get into good down and distances by being better on first down. It was an idea, certainly, but the flaw is still there, and it's probably worse now that they've doubled down on Benjamin St. Lattimore. He's washed. So to me, what was going to happen this year, the reason I didn't predict them to have anywhere near as good a season was they're playing better quarterbacks, playing better offenses, and you don't get to live the charm life where Devontae Smith drops a pass in a game that Kenny Pickett is playing it, or Jalen Hurts doesn't always get hurt. You don't get a Hail Mary every time. You don't get the benefit of every lucky break that they got last year on the magical carpet ride, which was awesome. But I'm telling you, everybody's expectations were out of whack, and this is all happening, and I'm watching the mudslide happen. I'm going, hey, there's danger at the bottom of the hill, and everyone's going, ah, it's still up there. It's not a big deal. We're watching it happen right now where they can't stop anybody. Doesn't matter if and when Jaden Daniels comes back to
I guess for me, the question in the bigger picture then would be, are they at a point where the expectations are high enough or what is needed for them to feel like they've done their jobs? The bar has risen so much after last year that being 2-2 through four when you've played half your games without the best player on the team, Jaden Daniels, to your point, it hasn't been an offensive problem. But still, if I was to have told you before the season started, they're not going to have Jaden Daniels for two of their first four games, you'd probably say, all right, they're at best going to be 3-1, and they're probably going to be 2-2. Now, that's easier before you watch it than seeing how it's happened defensively. But it seems like maybe the bar is high enough for you now where the expectation has risen that, like, you know, in the past, when you're 2-2 through four, you got a chance to get to 3-2 on the road this weekend. It's not a screaming, ranting time just yet. But I feel that in the fan base a little bit. There is an urgency. And I think it is because of a dozen wins last year or the NFC Championship game last year, which was fluky. You know, it was not authentic. They had a couple of big playoff wins in Detroit, in Tampa Bay. But that's kind of what I'm trying to drill down on, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Are we at a point now as a program where people should be losing their minds? Like yesterday, people are calling for Joe Witt to be fired. And I'm not talking about one or two people on Twitter. I'm talking about, like, the pulse of the fan base was heads need to roll. This defense is a joke. This coordinator, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, all right, so people really got comfortable as a 12-win NFC Championship game team, I guess. Whereas my point was, that's not authentic to what this team is. There are long ways from that. The quarterback had to play like an MVP, and you needed, as you said, to be one of the most lucky teams in the NFL, as we documented all offseason, to kind of get there at the end of the year without a single real signature quality win against a winning team before the playoffs started. And then you went out on the road and you won two games at the right time.
So to me, last year was wonderful and awesome. I was there too. I had fun, right? I know you did. I know the whole fan base did. What's different, though, about it is the standard isn't necessarily, I now expect 12 wins and NFC Championship game. That's unrealistic, right? You hope for those sorts of things. You hope you're building something. This was they inherited leftover Ron Rivera and the Marty refuse. They drafted a couple of people. Mostly it was Jaden Daniels and a few veterans that came over because Dan Quinn's popular and everyone likes Adam Peters. And, you know, you got your Bobby Wagners, your Zach Ertz's for one more ride. Last year was charmed. My point was this offseason, this was the time where you go, let's correct the flukes. Let's not count on fluky crap to happen again. And let's get a lot better. And the areas where they addressed or the areas where they focused or could have focused, they didn't get better. And they're worse in the secondary. They're worse at receiver than they were probably the end of last year.
I don't think their personnel is worse.
I do.
Well, their corner room's not worse. I mean, it just isn't.
Based on what?
Based on Trey Amos being better than any corner they had at any point last year. Based on the fact that Benjamin St. Juste is no longer on the roster, nor is Emmanuel Forbes, who was starting at the beginning of last season. Both of those guys can't play in the league.
Sam Ristill has regressed mightily. I'll take either of those other guys over Lattimore at this point, making a fraction of the money.
You wouldn't.
100% would.
At their money.
At a fraction of the money,
okay.
I would.
But I thought you were just talking about the overall talent.
No, I mean, none of them are any good, but they're not better.
Jonathan Jones is a better veteran bench player than they had last year. They still have
Noah, who has the same role
as depth, who doesn't play and started last year, is indicative of kind of how much better they've gotten at the position, that he's been pushed down the depth chart. Where they bet wrong so far is on Lattimore, for who they paid. But having Amos, who is playing at a really, really high level as kind of last year's Mikey Sanders still, you now kick him into the nickel, and he's had a bad September for sure, reacclimating at that position. But you would not look at last year's depth chart right now with Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juste compared to this year's depth chart and say they aren't better at corner. Where they invested. Now, again, you don't have to like that the Lattimore decision was wrong, but they paid a free agent corner, essentially $19 million, and they drafted a guy in the second round and pushed everybody else down the depth chart.
In terms of on paper, what you're saying makes sense.
But that's what I'm talking about. The plan in the offseason, like, they look at this and they go, okay, we paid Lattimore. They like him. So far, they've been wrong. They draft Amos, who probably should have gone around earlier. He's been awesome. And Sanders still is a more natural nickel than a boundary corner. So it shouldn't be expected that you kick him inside and he struggles as much as he has.
Which I understand. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, and I need a number to quantify this, I don't have one, guys are more open now than they've ever been. You see what I'm saying? So I understand.
I think they were pretty open last year. They're giving up the same number of yards per game. Yards per attempt is worse this year. But if you look at, like, a lot of the metrics from last season to this year, I mean, as bad as it seems right now through four games, and maybe the Giants are saving their bacon in week one.
That's what it is to me.
The numbers were worse last year at this point.
Which I understand. I guess just the eye test. No one's ever been more open than Trey Tucker. No one's ever been more open than Tucker Kraft. A lot of Tuckers involved right there, by the way. Like, no matter how bad it was last year, where they gave up everything and were terrible when they were dedicating everything to covering the pass, nobody's been that clearly open in this season and change now with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn and company. So to me, like, I understand on paper, yeah, I like Trey Amos, by the way. I think he's good. My point is, it's not better. In fact, I think it's worse right now than it was at any point last year when it was their biggest weakness on defense. So I understand the point about the design. I need them to see it before I do. And this has always been my complaint with people that are professionally compensated to make these decisions beforehand. You need to know the most. You need to be really good at it. This is wrong. Like, what's happening now is evidence of incorrect thinking, incorrect scheme. I don't know what it is exactly.
Right.
I watched the game like everyone else. I watched a guy that can't do it at this level do it at this level in Michael Penix. He has never done this before. He torched them. Guys are so open. And that's my angst, where I don't see how that gets corrected.
So I guess if we're just talking about the Atlanta game, which obviously we're not, but in this world where we are, I think everything is perfectly reasonably said, which is, like, that was such an egregiously bad performance with zero answers in coverage. That's not how I felt in the Giants game at all. The Raiders game, Geno ended up putting up numbers, mostly in the second half, some of them in garbage time, and it was when they'd lost, I think it was five defensive backs in that game to injury, if you remember.
I do.
Like, Tyler Owens was on the field with Jeremy Reeves and Antonio Hamilton, who was fresh off the practice squad. I'm literally looking at my flip card in the press box going, who in the hell is that? Oh, that's the guy they signed this week. Like, that was the end of that game. So I give him a little bit of an out on the Trey Tucker, you know, going nuts against their practice squad. But sure, the numbers are the numbers. This particular performance, there's zero excuses. Amos practiced all week. Lattimore's been healthy the entire time. Like, he's getting worked. And while you didn't have Butler, you didn't have Will Harris, and you didn't have Jonathan Jones, like three of the members of the secondary that would have been playing, you're getting banged up. That's the league. I mean, just that is what it is. There's going to, especially when you go older, not that that was the problem in the secondary, there are going to be injuries. You're going to have to overcome that. So I agree in the Atlanta thing. I don't think it's been as bad as it was this Sunday all season long. That said, it's ugly right now. There's no doubt about it.
Where we'll disagree, it sounds like, is I think it has been. And the only thing that saved their bacon was they played two teams that were determined to run the football in Green Bay and the Raiders. The reason the pass numbers weren't outrageous in the first half or early on was because they got to get the ball to Genty, slam it into the line of scrimmage. He gets tackled, big touch in the backfield on whatever it's 14 out of the 17 carries, or I forgot the numbers now, but I looked them up and researched them at the time. And Green Bay's handed the ball to Josh Jacobs a million times. They could throw it whenever they wanted to. They are torching people through the air regardless of who the personnel is. So you're right, at the end of that Raiders game, there were some injuries. It wasn't as if Tucker was covered in the first half either when he was running the same thing that Tucker Kraft was running against them a million times over.
No, but I think if people watch that game, they would acknowledge that the last quarter of that game is when the Raiders threw it all over them.
That is when that happened.
And that was when they had four defensive backs out via injury.
And the point that I'm making is they could have done it for four quarters, but they had to get it to Genty.
But I'm just talking about what happened.
Totally. And the Packers did and the Falcons did. So to me, this is where it's broken. And I don't know how it gets better when you're playing Justin Herbert. I understand that their pass pro might be compromised, but when you got Mahomes on the schedule, you got Goff and company on the schedule, you got plenty of quarterbacks that are going to carve your ass up, and I don't know where the fix is coming from.
Yeah, so I guess to get back to the original question, right, the 10,000-foot view of this thing, because I'm now, while playing devil's advocate, it feels like having to take a side that I don't necessarily subscribe to, which is not to defend this defense, which has been really bad at times, and for the most part, has been a disappointment through a quarter of the season. But I guess my question, and we can pose this to people, I'm trying to take temperatures here, at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, as the team is 2-2, I'm a little surprised with how quickly the meter's getting turned up for anger, frustration, vitriol, you know, nerves, anxieties, whatever that is. And I here's what I think is actually happening. I think I need to recalibrate the NFL in 2025. And what I mean by that is the Falcons get shut out by the Panthers, and last week in Atlanta they're talking about, does Michael Penix need to be benched? Do they need to fire their offensive coordinator, who I actually think is not very good, but that's beyond the point.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Morris, who's terrible with clock management. In both of the Falcons games since last year that Washington's played, end of the game and then end of the first half in this game, he's had some of the worst clock management I've ever seen. But like, you think about it, it's 1 week where it's 30-0 and the Wolves are at the doors and people want heads on platters. And I just think this is the league. It's a roller coaster. We ride the roller coaster. Week one against the Giants, oh my God, their defense is amazing. It's unbelievable. This is going to be an incredible group. They shove it on the Raiders the way that they did. Look at this defense. And it's just, we're just going up and down on the hurler at King's Dominion a little bit. I'm just surprised with how quickly it happened, I guess. But that's what I want to know is, are you guys worried? Are you waiting to see what they get right, what the adjustments are, and what this looks like a week or two from now?
So if they had lost this week, say, I'm just making up numbers, 20-19, right, where the offense is limited because they don't have McLaurin. They don't have, you know, the majority of their players. No Jaden Daniels. Yeah, okay. It's Deebo Samuel and a group of running backs and old Zach Ertz trying to put some points on the board. They move the football okay, but end up not quite having enough. I don't think the reaction would be what it is. But even in their wins, non-Giants game division, it's a, you beat a couple, and I guess talking about the Giants too, you beat a couple of bad teams, you took advantage of their badness, good for you. They've been on the road twice. Green Bay destroyed them, especially this way, and Atlanta just did the same thing. The pathology for their losses has been the exact same. Offense not really on rhythm, not really doing their thing. Maybe not quite yet, but probably not enough time on the grass. They're banged up, yada, yada, yada. Defensively, oh my God, they can't stop anything through the air. And I think because people are seeing that now, that's the extra layer of vitriol. Because you're right about up and down roller coaster. I mean, that's the league. You're right. It is week to week.
But just more than I can remember, like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly when I was a kid, you know, there was nothing like this. But even I think the difference now of like week to week, and it's the 24/7 broadcast networks, and it's the shouty shows, and it's the terrible topics on the bottom of Chirons. It's all changed the culture a little bit, I think. Also, maybe red zone culture of like, we only see the good. It's like looking at other people's Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
We see the best plays of the other guys, and we don't see the time where they miss the block or they miss the throw. I don't know. But I'm not even saying anybody's wrong. I guess I'm just surprised. Like, coming in today, as we're chopping this up, like, you would think they were 0-4 or 1-3 the way we're talking about this thing. And they haven't had the guy that made it all right for half of these games now. Not why they've lost the games, and I get that's part of the discussion, but they had games like this defensively last year that they won because Superman was at quarterback. And so a super banged up team is 2-2, has won at home and then lost, and then won at home and then lost, and is kind of riding the roller coaster early in the season. And I'm just a little bit surprised with how quickly people are kind of calling for changes after last year. That's all.
I smell what you're cooking. Yeah, I mean, last year, while this is happening, again, the circumstances matter a ton to me. It may not matter to everyone else. But Jaden Daniels comes in into a flawed operation, a bunch of, you know, older vets on one-year deals, and they make this magic thing happen. This is supposed to be the, all right, we got away with that last year, but watch this. Watch how much better we are. Watch how shored up everything is. And there is bad or worse in some of these trouble spots. Most specifically, again, I keep hammering it, the pass defense. That's what's so infuriating, I think, to a lot of folks. Is when you walked in here, the cupboard was bare. There are no first-round picks on your roster from the previous regime. That's inexcusable. That's impossible to dig out of. And yet somehow they did it. And I understand you may not get to win 12 games to go to the NFC title game again. But you can't be the third worst in the league when someone drops back to throw, right, after an offseason. If that happened last year, you go, I get it, man. What are they supposed to do? How many draft picks do you have? One of them had to be on Jaden Daniels. That's the right pick. I'd make it 1,000 times out of 1,000. I don't know how you fill out the rest of the secondary. You had the offseason to get better, and they're a disaster in that regard through a couple of games with a bunch of good quarterbacks on the schedule. So, yeah, you're right. Again, I think both are true. It is week to week. People are overreacting. That's what we always do. You're right about, you know, the 24/7 cycle. But the other part is the, oh, my God, this is bad or worse, and where's it going to get better? And they had a chance to fix it this time, whereas they didn't last year.
I think just going back to the offseason, it felt like the conversation we were having on this show, and I won't speak for other shows, but you and I were saying basically, if you can be around 20th in defense this year, that was kind of what we were hoping, right? Be in the 20 to 22 range in defense, not in the bottom three or four, you could probably get where you want to go. And right now, they're 24th in defense, coming off of a dreadful performance, obviously. It's only four games, it's a small sample. They can't be 30th against the pass, which is where they are right now. That's got to improve, to your point. But the strength of this team, you and I have begged for them, dump your assets into offense. Spend your money on playmakers. Do everything you can to surround Jaden Daniels. You know, when they would go out in the offseason and add a defensive piece, there was like frustration that it's not directly corollary to Jaden Daniels, right? You're mad that they're getting a D-tackle or whatever. Like, then the defense is going to struggle sometimes. But you're going to have to, I think, as this year goes on, get more out of your coaching staff if you're going to do it that way. You got to mask deficiencies. You got to find a way, Joe Witt, because no one's walking through that door, I guess is my point. Like, it's not like they've got a bunch of dudes, Danny, that are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get Jonathan Jones back, he's a depth corner. When you get Will Harris back in 5-6 weeks, hopefully, he's going to help you at safety. But he's not a playmaking ball right. hawk, DPOY guy that's going to create, like, 7 takeaways or something. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So this is the group, man. This is how they built it. And was the expectation that they were going to be top 10 or 12 defensively? I don't know that it was. But it's got to be better than yesterday for sure. 800-636-1067. All right, so that's the table being set for you. We'll hit the phones on this next. Are you worried or are you waiting to see for another week or two what this whole thing looks like as we get a little more sample out of the Commanders? You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We can eliminate those because that's not when we're at our best, you know, like the big plays to live in that space. And so give them credit, you know, on some of the ones, whether it be design or what have you. But we'll dig into those hard to make sure matchups, scheme, all of it in the right spot. But, you know, like I said, give them credit on Atlanta. But that's something we need to get our football, all three phases, really aligned like we like.
That's the head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn. On allowing too many big plays defensively. And there were some chunks for that Atlanta offense. 69 yards to Bijan Robinson, 43 yards to Drake London on a 2nd and 16. They had a 26 and 22 yard completion to Kyle Pitts in the game. Quan Martin on the 26 yarder was beaten despite a pass interference. And if you look at explosives, we were talking about this a year ago at this time. Washington had allowed 34, which was tied for 30th in the NFL. They've allowed 32 this year, which is 28th. In the NFL. So, hey, there's improvement. 2 fewer explosives.
Thank God for that Giants game in week 1.
Allowed to this point in the season. The question at 2-2 is, are you worried or are you waiting before you get really worried about the big picture this season? Let's go to Vic and Akakeek. What's up, Vic?
What's up, G&D?
Hey, man.
So I'm not worried. As a football mind, I'm concerned. But I've said this since last year, what my concerns were. You guys didn't do it, but throughout the radio, Washington Commander fan world, I was hung up on. I was told I was too critical. I was told you're being unreasonable. You don't know what you're talking about. But last, here we are. I'll sum it up like this. That play where the double slants came in B-Wag and Bijan runs out the backfield, that was man. And that's why his eyes went elsewhere, because the man wearing rub wraps across his face, and he could not get over there fast enough. Understand that. That's reasonable. In a cover 2 defense, in a cover 3 defense, the flat is covered. I don't care if it's Wagner. I don't care if it's Amos. I don't care if it's Roach. I don't care if it's Mbagwe. I don't care if it's Sky. That person is out there in that zone. And it gives us a better chance to let us rush forward, keep the lane tight, and allow our defense to get off the field or reduce yards.
But, Vic, let me get you back on track here real quick. 2-2 through 4, defense is scuffling big time. Are you concerned, yes or no?
Yes, I'm concerned. And I said that to start off. When we're talking about why I'm concerned is this. Because when we ran zone, we were just covering grass, if you looked at the film. Obviously, you did. And when we played man, we were getting beat. Joe Witt, you control the defense, not just in the play scheme calls. You control it in individual in practice. You can control it in team in practice. And you control it in film. Those things get fixed in film. So I'm concerned because if that's happening now, then these are gaping problems that we have not fixed since last year.
And they're getting beat on some of the same concepts, too, by the way.
Appreciate you, bud.
Thanks for the call. The Green Bay game where they were, like, running motion and Lattimore was traveling, and so then they'd get these little speed outs that he can't get to in space. You saw that yesterday. The 3-by-1 stuff Green Bay did where they would get these crossers and they were trying to match, and so they're getting picked off. That happened to Wagner when he was trying to come deal with Robinson on the 69-yard catch and run. A lot of the same things are showing up. The Raiders ran it. The Packers ran it. Now the Falcons did it. And they haven't had an adjustment for it.
Yeah. I bet you might see it again.
Let's go to Brandon in Warrington on G&D.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, dude.
Hey, yeah. So it just goes to the same. It's Joe Witt, in my opinion. No one else is walking through that door. So you're going to say it's personnel, then maybe blame Adam Peter for some of the defense. But it's the same issues going back to last year. There should not be coverage bust week in and week out. I'm very worried at 2-2 because the offense, like you said, without a backup, with our backup quarterback, without our MVP, without Terry McCord, put up 27 points. Our defense gave up 34 points and couldn't stop a Colt. Now, if A.J. Brown or one of the top receiver beats you, but guys are there, that's fine. He's the better guy. But it's week in, week out. Going back to last year, there's coverage busts, no adjustment, and like Tucker Kraft is still running to this day. And they don't make any adjustments. It seems like they're getting out-coached week in, week out.
And that, to me, is the point. Appreciate the phone call. It's a good one. If, as you said, if A.J. Brown goes up 50-50 against somebody and mosses you, yeah, that's a 6'3", 220-pound monster.
Did you see his tweet yesterday despite being on a 4-0 team? Basically,
some cryptic.
Vaguely saying he wants out of Philadelphia as they're the best team in the NFL.
So, yeah, pick A.J. Brown, pick CeeDee Lamb, pick the next great receiver that they're going to face. There'll be plenty. Somebody does that, you go, you know what? That guy gets paid to play too. You tip your cap. It's the busts. It's the, you know, the same crap you would hear Monday morning quarterback style. It's a communication issue. We'll get that cleaned up under Joe Barry, under Del Rio, under name that Jag defensive coordinator, under Minuski. And it never seems to fix here. Whatever it is, regardless of regime, it's the bus. It's the guys that are so open. Sometimes, again, you run a great play, guy runs a great route, and you make a catch, you can be there, you try to break it up, you do the best you can. That's football. That's life. There's a difference between that and a completion where there's nobody close, and that's what's happening now.
Who was Washington, 82 yesterday? That guy ran a couple of routes where he got wide open for Atlanta on big downs and distances, too. Like, made Casey Washington. Had the 19-yard catch on a big third down where there's nobody within 10 yards of that guy. Let's go to DeMarco and Frederick on the Fan. Hey, DeMarco.
Hey, what's up, you guys? I will say I'm not concerned yet because it's only been a four-game window. Three out of the four games, the defense played pretty solid. Green Bay, we're still in it until the end, and we didn't lose that game because of the defense. I said the offense was pretty much struggling. I think it's more of a, hey, our head coach and Joe Witt can't figure out that Coach Shanahan coaching tree offense. We get burnt by them. Even goes back to Dan Quinn when he was in Dallas, when he played Green Bay or San Francisco. He's like, that defense against that offense, it just seems like it's just not a good match.
That's a good point. I mean, Robinson is a branch off of McVay, who's a branch off of Shanahan, and it hasn't gone that well. You think about the LaFleur matchup as well. Maybe there's something to that, I guess, schematically, with what they're doing, but my angst comes from, or my annoyance, I guess, what vexes me about the whole thing is, if I'm going to go with a defensive-minded head coach, which I don't need to get back into why I wouldn't do that. I think I've spoken about that enough. But I need to have then answers on defense. The reason you do that, honestly, is so that you can dump all your assets, or most of them, into the offensive side of the ball, and then defense can be more about scheme, X's and O's, you know, and actually coaching guys up and masking deficiencies. And on offense, you can be Billy's and Joe's. You can pay Terry McLaurin. You can, you know, spend the $275 million you're going to need to on Jaden Daniels and all, you know, go get your left tackle and extend Laremy Tunsil and do all those things. But you can't have defensive-minded head coach and bad defense year after year after year. It happened with Rivera over and over and over again. And we're going into year two here. We're quarter way through the second year of it happening with this regime as well. Let's go to Robert in Midlothian down by Richmond. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Great show. Couple concerns. I am very concerned, actually. Lattimore, I think, should have been cut in the offseason. I think what happened there is pride got in the way. Adam Peters doesn't want to admit they made a blunder getting that guy. And then it seems like, kind of like what you guys are saying with schemes, Joe Witt apparently has no answers. Why not at least try to send an all-out blitz a couple of times and shake up Penix a little bit? They're acting like he's Dan Marino. Send the kitchen sink after him, even if you give up a long bomb. At least you're trying to do something different.
That was my point several times over the years where I'm going, you're giving up huge chunk plays, you know, regardless. At least go down aggressive. At least go down having hit the quarterback. Or at least go down trying to create some chaos. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too, where they're trying to play it straight, and they generate no pressure a lot of times, no turnovers, 1 through 4 games. You're not creating any chaos. The way you're doing it is playing soft, keeping everything in front of you, which is the new paradigm of the NFL. Everybody's dropping in coverage and dropping, you know, 7 or 8, depends on the play. But that's not effective for you. It's effective for the other teams that are doing it a lot better than you are. If you were keeping everything in front and hadn't given up 30-plus chunk plays through a handful of games, I go, you know what? Their style is bend but don't break. They're all, you know, waiting for the offense to screw up, which they inevitably will. Give a chance to get the football back to the offense, and then we'll go to town. That's not happening either. You see what I'm saying? Like there's usually push and pull. We create a lot of turnovers, but we give up some big plays. You saw that with Dan Quinn's defenses in Dallas. They were vulnerable to something big, but they were gonna jump the route and get you. Just, I haven't seen that.
I don't know how. The plan yesterday wasn't to your point, do everything you can to send bodies toward Michael Penix, who had been pressured 34% of the time coming into this game, which was actually below league average. They've actually done an okay job getting the ball out and avoiding pressure. But when he's pressured, significant struggles. League low 15.5% completion rate over expected in the negative when he was pressured, meaning, you know, ball out of his hand, easy throw, what should be at a league average level completed. He was 15% below that when throwing under pressure, 13 of 29 on the year, the 11th lowest percentage at 44%. He had been bad against pressure. They didn't get any. How could you possibly know what it looks like against your team if he's pressured if you don't get any? He had completed 1 of 19 attempts over 15 air yards on the season for 21 yards with an interception, by the way, on his 1 for 19. This year, nothing about how he played through 3 games translated to this game yesterday.
That's right.
Not even a little bit. But a big part of it was he was really comfortable in a clean pocket. He got touched twice statistically yesterday, according to the official NFL numbers. Brad's in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, Brad.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Long time. It's good to hear from you. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned with the players, the talent that I thought we had is not playing. Like, Mikey Sandstill gets turned around on these inside routes every time. And I'm thinking that maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. Maybe he's not as good as they thought he was. He caught the pick. That's nice. But and also, I see the same thing on film as you, Grant. The drag, every time they send him in motion, Lattimore can't keep up with him. Everyone in the league runs this concept. I don't understand how we're the only team that never seen it before and can't seem to grab that the guy's going to run on, and we can't communicate. I don't understand that. The communication has been off for the past year and a half. Miscommunications leading to big plays is the story of our offense. Story of our defense, my bad. Undisciplined, we get so many pre-snap penalties. I'm not understanding what's going on defensively in that secondary, guys. I'm not.
Me neither. It's so frustrating, man. It's so frustrating. Last year, again, they inherited a terrible room, made the best of it, said after a few games of Emmanuel Forbes, you know what, enough. We can't deal with it anymore. You had the offseason. You had the offseason to improve it, to do something different, to go into the lab and fix it. And through 4 games, it has been terrible.
We got a Jaden Daniels update on his status for Sunday against L.A. And speaking of injury updates, Javonte Jean-Baptiste was hurt pretty badly with a pec injury. What's the timeline on him to rejoin the team? His role has grown considerably with Dietrich Wise out on the edge. So that's 2 of your big physical ends that help against the run that are now hurt. We'll get a JJB update next as well on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, Jay Gruden, coming up on the show today for his Monday appointment at 5 o'clock. What did he see from the Washington secondary? How can they fix that problem and start making more plays on the back end? We'll dive in with him in about an hour and 10 minutes right here on the Fan. Also today, we'll let you hear the Dan Quinn press conference. We'll do that toward the end of the show today, coming up around 6 o'clock or so. Quinn speaking with the media, giving some updates. Sounds like on Javonte Jean-Baptiste, they are hoping that he will be back this season. They didn't rule him out for the rest of the year, but they said it's going to be a long while. So that's a pec injury. Could be the John Allen timeline where right before the end of the year, he's back, hopefully. They did not put him on season-ending injured reserve or say in the press conference today that his season's over. More detail to come there. And then on Jaden Daniels, there was apparently some kind of breakthrough on Saturday, it sounds like, where he got a lot done and they liked what they saw. Quinn on Daniels, strong workout Saturday. They'll go through, quote, the whole process this week medically, how he feels and how he practices will make the decision. They did, somebody, whether it was the agent side or the team side, leaked to Ian Rappaport over the weekend that Daniels is expected to play against the Chargers barring a setback. You've started to see that momentum, not to mention the videos of him running around at practice this week. It all points to, with another 7 days, he should absolutely be able, theoretically, to be on the field against the Chargers.
That's certainly the hope, right? I mean, you know, welcome back on the road against a really good defense that has, you know, played well through a handful of games. But yeah, I mean, they need some kind of fix, some kind of jolt after this past week. This past weekend was a real downer to me. Again, I just think the way they lost matters so much. Had it been the offense didn't quite have enough because no Terry McLaurin and, you know, no Noah Brown and everybody's limited. And, you know, it's the best we could do with the limited things. Had they lost a close game to a desperate team, you go, all right, just the way they gave up so damn much and just had no answers for Atlanta. Now you go, please hurry back, Jaden, and help and fix all of it like you did last year.
And I have not disagreed with much of what you've said on any of this. I'm kind of almost playing devil's advocate today because I think it is necessary and someone needs to this early in the year. After the Packers game, everyone thought, oh my God, they're terrible. And they come back and they destroy the Raiders at home, right? Well, the Panthers won 30-0 last week.
Mm-hmm.
They got annihilated this week by the New England Patriots.
I mean, destroyed.
The Falcons get shut out and then almost score 40 a week later. The league is quirky. Like, week to week, things change.
Especially early.
Yep. Absolutely. Because it's early. I mean, if it's December, I feel like we got a pretty good beat on this thing. But yeah, that's my point. It's 3-4 weeks in, and I like the Chargers matchup a heck of a lot more than I did 36 hours ago. I don't necessarily think they should be favored. They shouldn't on the road. The Chargers do have a good defense. Justin Herbert has been the man, but they just lost to the Giants. They're without their starting tackles. Their offensive line is a walking wounded. This is a winnable football game, and if Daniels is back and he's healthy and he's out there, there's no reason Washington shouldn't be able to go on the road and try to get a big win if they are who we thought they were, to take some Denny Green parlance and use it here. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. As always, the double play is driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
I'll do it super quick. Talking about good defensive coordinators in town, GP. Your pal over here, this is Randy Nuye. Pitched a shutout this weekend. 7-8 Ravens in the Flag Football League. Shutout against the Miami Dolphins.
You guys didn't have a bunch of guys running free, it sounds like.
No, well, a couple guys were, but they're you know, younger quarterbacks. They struggle to make some of the throws, some of
the
passes.
That's what Joe Witt needs.
Yeah,
he needs an 8-year-old quarterback.
He needs a couple 7-8-year-olds.
Missing some throws.
Not throwing the ball on time. But it is so rewarding and so much fun to, and I know every dad out there, and even some moms too, obviously, who have done this. But when you coach your kids' age group, right, and you can track the moments where you know 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we wouldn't have done that. Or this kid didn't know what to do, and now he does, or now she does. That thing is so awesome, and it's my favorite part about it. Now, my older son, we talked about this before, he has fired me from every head coaching position I've shared with him. He does not like having me as his coach. So far, my younger of the two, my 7-year-old hasn't fired me. He's only fired me for one position from baseball, but we will see as long as that lasts.
You got fired by him too?
Yeah, from baseball, yeah. And he retired from baseball.
It's weird, dropping like ducks.
I know, it sucks.
That's not a saying. I just botched a cliche. Dropping like flies. Dropping like ducks is a weird one.
It has been a show of botched cliches, by the way. I don't want to call the guy out, but earlier a caller said they couldn't stop a cold. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, it's hard to stop colds. Colds have been around forever, and you can't cure it.
Yeah,
you know, like I think it's they couldn't catch a cold or they couldn't stop a stiff breeze, maybe. I don't know.
My buddy hunts ducks. So maybe like dropping like ducks when he's hunting them.
Yeah, like if you do that thing where you send the hound out there and they all go and they're flying away and you could just pick them off.
You ever played Duck Hunter?
Oh, come on. Of course I did. The original shipped combo Duck Hunter and Super Mario Brothers on the old school Nintendo came with the light zapper.
The Nintendo with the little gun that you use.
That's the light zapper.
What an awesome thing.
It was more effective. I always argue this.
How did that tech even work?
And on an 8-bit system in the 80s?
On an old TV.
It's unreal.
Like, the gun would shoot and somehow we would know if we hit the bird or not?
It was better when you turned it sideways. I firmly believe that, by the way. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
that's just because you watched gangster movies.
Well, I think that's how the first gangsters were formed.
Playing Duck Hunter?
Is they go, you know, it's better. You get the dog to pop up on the screen. It's better if you turn it sideways with the light zapper.
Let's give away some tickets to the Caps season opener coming up on October 8th. We'll do that as soon as we return. You better be listening to the Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV. The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.